restrictions are current, so I'm all in good shape as far as golf now. But another reason I hadn't been able to get to my golf magazines is because last week Brandon gave me plenty of time to tell me I was going to preach today. He gave me a whole week, so I plenty of time. So that's good. That's good. Well, we got all that out of the way. I guess I better pray if you'll pray with me. Lord, I just thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for your presence that we feel in this house today, Lord. We thank you that you're meeting all our needs. Today, oh God, I pray that your servant will be anointed today to bring your word, Lord, that it might change our hearts. It might change our hearts to be more in service to you, Lord, that we might be a credit to your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Well, fortunately, I had been reading a little bit of my Bible, you know, so I was kind of prepared. But as I come in this morning, a lot of different things, I see them in my message, a lot of things that have been said, a lot of the music today. So that's the way God choreographs things. He's always on time and he's always there. It's his thing that gets done, not our thing that gets done. And I'm going from Luke today. Luke, the 9th chapter. Let's do that. And I like to have my big old Bible. It takes up a lot of room here. But I like to have my big Bible. I can't do it on the phone. I haven't got a computer, you know, yet. I'm too old-fashioned. I like the noise that the pages make when you turn them. I like that. So I'm going to stick with my big book here. But it's on page 1309. Halfway down the left column, you'll find Luke 9. One. We're going to read the first 6 verses. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure disease. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither staffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have 2 tunics apiece. That's coat, tunic. Just get 1 coat when you go. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. That, if you knew that and studied that and nothing else, that would be plenty to get you started in the kingdom of God. Jesus' 12 closest disciples, they'd been by his side for 3 years. 3 years. I got arthritis. 3 years. They'd seen up close and personal what Jesus could do. They were there whenever he performed many miracles. If we look in the last part of chapter 8, there's a couple of instances where Jesus, he healed a young girl. Who was it? A man named Jairus. He was a ruler in the synagogue, and he begged him to come to his house. His only daughter, 12 years old, was dying. And Jesus didn't go immediately. Had a whole throng of people around him that needed ministry. So there was a woman. This is a familiar story. A woman with issue of blood. She was trying to get to Jesus. She had great faith. She knew if she could just get to him, maybe speak to him, she'd be healed. She got close enough to grab his garment. Woo! That's all it took. Jesus told her, your faith has made you whole. Then, at that point, he went on to the house where the little girl was. Woo. And verse 51 of chapter 8 says, when he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother. It says, now they all wept and mourned for her, but he said, don't weep. She's not dead. She's just sleeping. And verse 53, and they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. What Jesus do at that point? He said, Clint knows. He said, if you don't believe like I do, go outside. So he took the girl's hand, raised her up. It only takes Jesus, and it only takes belief for miracles to happen. Whew. And remember this part as we get on down in this message, because I'm coming back to this. The same power and authority that Jesus entrusted to his 12 disciples, that's available right now, as Brother Hall's already said, preaching my message. That very power is available to us today by his Spirit. We can have that power, and there'll be great spiritual breakthrough. But we have to apply it with authority in all personal ministry. I want to read, I want to go over to the book of Acts. And by the way, I was, Luke, the physician, wrote the book of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts. And Luke wasn't a Jew. He was a Gentile. And to me, that meant that this was, he wrote these books in 60 to 70 A.D., 60 or 70 years after Jesus had died. And he didn't have to believe what Jesus was doing. But it was so powerful what he saw, he had to write it. That's right, Brother Aiden. That's right. It's my amen corner over here. But in the book of Acts, and this is a very familiar scripture too, in the fourth verse it says, and being assembled together with him, he commanded him not to depart Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. And then verse 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So the Holy Spirit is the only power that we need in this day and time. One way to apply his authority, one way we can apply the authority he gives us is to take only his Spirit with us as we minister. And we were reading over here in Luke 9, 1 through 6. He told them to go. He gave them the authority, gave them the power, gave them the Spirit to go. He said, don't take anything with you. He said, take nothing when you went out. In other words, I'm enough, says Jesus. My Spirit alone is enough. He also told them that if anyone didn't receive it, if they weren't picking up what they're laying down, Brother Brandon, is that the way you say it? If they weren't picking up what he was laying down, just shake the dust off. Say, I'm leaving your negativity here, and I'm going on. Jesus knew the urgency of ministry. He knew the urgency of getting the gospel out. And he knew there were souls out there that were lost and needed to be saved. Nothing in this world, no matter how much it costs, how pretty it looks, how good it feels, can satisfy our soul. I want to read another verse in Luke 9. Let's go Luke 9. verse 25. For what profit it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? Simple as it gets. The gospel is so simple. But, you know, I think the disciples, somewhere in their mind, when they were with him, they thought Jesus was going to be with them for a long time. They thought he was going to pick up a natural sword and go fight for them. We've got Jesus. We've got this. But Jesus wouldn't be there. And he told them twice in chapter 9 that he said, I'll suffer and I'll die and I'm going. You know, you're going to be on your own. And he told them twice that. But Luke 9:45 said the disciples didn't understand that quite. Maybe they were caught up in miracles. They were caught up in, you know, he's doing most of the work. We're happy to be with him. You know, we're on the bandwagon. But I believe Jesus wanted him to focus more. And I know he did. He wanted him to focus more on the ministry rather than be worried about, well, he might not be here tomorrow or next week. You know, he was a young man. Anyway. And he wanted them to realize also the cost of discipleship. And I'll read some more in Luke 9. Let's start at verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he always spoke in parables, maybe a little riddle. So they didn't understand. See, I take care of all these things, but I don't have any place permanent that I stay. This is how you're going to be, is what he was saying. They didn't understand that. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Now that might seem harsh, but as we know, and recently, as we experienced with Brother Ingram, after he wasn't with us anymore, he was in a whole lot better shape. He immediately was with the Lord. So we didn't need to worry anymore about Brother Ingram being sick. Verse 61, and another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. Again, somebody's wanting to take care of their natural affairs. And Jesus said, you know, this is what it is. The kingdom of God, his ministry. You have to go out. You can't waste time. Verse 62, but Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And that, again, might seem harsh, Brother Charlie. Might seem harsh. But, and I thought about that, and I thought about plowing. All right, if you're plowing, because I know back when I was a young guy, my granddad let me get on a little farm all tractor, and I'd plow. And, of course, I was just having a good time. I was looking everywhere, and that row would be just like this. Because what I was doing was looking everywhere, back, side, everywhere. If I'd have been looking ahead, straight forward, and had my focus right there, then that road would have been pretty straight, Brother Clint. but that's the same thing that was happening here when Jesus told them, no one having put their hand to the plow and looking back. You're not going to do a good job if you're If you say, yeah, I'm going to go minister, but let me, wow, look at that. That's a good-looking bass, and I wonder how he reads all that music. That's confusing. Oh yeah, I'm preaching today. I better get back over here. You can't be distracted. If we're distracted by anything in life, things won't work out much good in the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, how about you? Are you a disciple? How many disciples? 1, 2, 4, 5. Okay. And this next part is a little harsh too, Brother Clint. Sorry I'm harsh, but keep smiling, brother. Good stuff's coming. This is only page 3. I've got 5 or 6 pages. Yeah. Jesus said in Luke 14:26, 27, and 28a. This is out of my little living Bible, my little green Bible I like to use because it used better wording. It says, anyone who wants to be my follower must love me far more than he does his own father, mother, wife, children, brothers, or sisters. Yes, more than his own life. Otherwise, he cannot be my disciple. And no one can be my disciple that does not carry his own cross and follow me. Because I read that out of the King James, the New King James, and the first line, it says, anyone who wants to follow me must hate his father and mother. And I didn't want to use that word. Y'all are too nice for me to treat you like that. So I looked in my little living Bible, and I said, that says it better. You just need to love Jesus more than you do your family, even though you love your family too. Now, that's a high cost. That's a high cost. Our families are real important. Can we pay that cost? When I say anything, I'm talking about Gary too first. Talking to me first before I'm talking to anybody. So I want to also read from chapter 10 of Luke, because it tells another phase to the ministry. Can we serve whenever necessary, bearing that cross? You know, it's hard enough to go out and leave your family, but you got to take everything with you, all your issues, all your thoughts. You can't take food, but you have all your thoughts and your worries to go with you. So if we read in Luke 10, just the first two verses, Luke 10. After these things, that's after telling them that put your hand on the plow and if you look back, you're not fit. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them 2 by 2 before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. My allergies are killing me. Oh, no, they're not killing me. Thank you. See, I need help too, y'all. Y'all know I do. So I couldn't make it without her. I'd be plumb bad. Say, what's happening in your life right now? If it's anything like mine, everything's happening all at once. Oh, and a lot of it's happening. There's one thing most important, and that's what we do for the kingdom of God. The scripture says, harvest is great. There's still a lot of folks out there. There's a lot of folks out there that are sitting in church buildings that need ministry, that need something else from the Lord. But the word says there's not enough workers to get that job done. And right about now, because everybody's so quiet, I know what you're thinking. Gary, I know every bit of this. You're just going over a bunch of stuff. I already know. Miss Deborah's smiling. Stay with me, Miss Deborah. Just bear with me. I want you to pray about it, y'all. Think about the amount of time that the disciples had with Jesus. Just 3 years. That's not much time and everything. You know, 3 years can go by, boom, like that. Okay. How long have you known Jesus? A little bit. So there's probably young folks, of course, hadn't known him as long as older folks, like Gary. And I'll be honest with you, I should have known him long before I did know him. I wasted so much time in the 60s and 70s. We're not going there. We're not going there, no. Y'all just forget I said that. Anybody watching online, don't think nothing about that. That Volkswagen bus. It was a white Corvair that my dad bought in 1961. And I got it in about 1966. And I drove it out one night, got together with a bunch of my friends, and we took, true story, Brother Charlie, we took Black Marks a lot. And, of course, that was flower power and make love, not war, and all that stuff. We rode all of that, put all that, all over that car. I drove it back home. It was late when we got home, so Dad didn't see it till the next morning. He come in there and woke me up. He said, "What happened?" I said, "I don't know what happened." You know, I didn't think nothing, but he said, "To the car." He gave me the car, so I thought I could do anything I wanted to with it, but apparently that was a little over the top. So, all right, that's just, thank God. That's all I can say. All right. It did not come off. Oh, no, it's permanent marks a lot. That's those old big old marks a lot with the white. It's got marks a lot on them. I mean, they don't come off. It was permanent, yes. And he made me feel so bad I quit driving the thing. We had to get rid of it. I was going to have fun with it, drive it for a long time. That's the car I got my license in. It was four on the floor, you know. Whatever. All right, we better get back. I'm getting off rabbit trail. We're going to go back to chapter 9. We'll go back to chapter 9 of Luke. First verse again says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure all diseases." Jesus transferred the power of his spirit to his disciples so they could go out and minister. That's been said. Since his sacrifice on the cross, he's still doing that. He's still calling. He's calling men. He's calling women. He's calling young people. Wants everybody to be filled with his spirit. And it doesn't matter if you know Jesus just a short time or if you've known him most of your life. All that's irrelevant as to the infilling of his spirit. Because when we receive his spirit, that's not just you receive it and that's the last time you have to deal with it. You don't just receive it one time. We all need to continually be refilled with His Spirit so that our lives will be renewed, every part of our lives, be renewed so we can be prepared for that ministry. Each new day Each new day we see needs to be an opportunity to minister by His Spirit. I want to tell you another little story, too. A guy, Brother Joe Hester, told me years ago, Brother Marshall, we were out on the property out there, and I had just started coming to church, and I remember Brother Joe said, he said, you know, the Spirit is, it's good to be filled with the Spirit, he said. You know, Joe, that's all about the Holy Spirit. So it's good to be filled with the Spirit. And he said, but you can't stay full. And I thought, well, why not? I didn't understand. It's kind of like these disciples. I didn't understand. And he said, you continually need to be refilled. He said, that's why you come to church. That's why you fellowship with people. You continue to get refilled with the Spirit. Because when you go out, you give out that Spirit. That's what happened to Jesus whenever the woman touched His garment. He immediately, oh, something's power's left me. You know, even Jesus, He had to be refilled. That's why He did the same things He's telling us to do. So when we minister, the power does go out, and the refilling of His Spirit comes by prayer, one way, daily Bible reading, gathering with people of God, and that's just a few things. You know, another thing Brother Hester told me, he said, you can look at the church and say, well, that's a filling station. And immediately, the first thing I thought about, my granddad Wallace owned a Texaco service station in Godley, Texas, back in the 50s and 60s. And I worked down there. And I remember my granddad would get up in the morning, he'd tell Grandma, he'd say, Virgie, I'm going to the filling station. And back then, you could get gas, oil, water, air, you get everything at the filling station. So whenever Brother Joe told me the church is a filling station, that resonated with me because I thought immediately back to my granddad and him saying filling station, because you don't hear people say, I'm going to go down to the filling station, get some gas. Maybe I'm the only one that says that, but that's the way God wants me to remember it. So now we have to ask ourselves some questions at this point. First one, are you born again? Yeah, everybody can raise their hand. We're born again. Okay, good. That's the easy one. That's the easy one. It gets harder. What about the Spirit? Have you allowed God to fill you with the Spirit? Yeah, pretty much. And to be filled, again, it's not just, God's just not going to, well, I'm going to throw the Spirit over here on Brother Marshall. No, Brother Marshall has to seek and receive that Spirit. And got to want it. And you know, that can be a little difficult for some. And I'll tell you another story. For me, I was saved, baptized, and I was thinking about the Spirit, you know, and speaking in tongues, and so I'd driving in a car by myself, I'd practice. This is what it should sound like. And I got pretty good at it, I thought. Yeah, I can do that. Now I can go out in a group where other people are and say something. You know, I was trying to do it my way. Well, you can't. And it didn't happen until that one night that I was up at that little church on 35 and Brother Springer was up there. And we were having a whale of a time in the Spirit, and I wasn't thinking anything about what might happen. And I was standing there. He'd already been, I saw this with my own eyes, jumping the pews, Brother Clint. I saw that with my own eyes that night. He did. He walked on top of them chairs. I just knew he was going to fall, kill himself. But he's in the spirit. He's not going to do that. So he come over to me, and he didn't say much at all. He just kind of touched my forehead. I was down on the ground, and I was speaking in tongues for, I don't know how long. I still don't know how long. I tried to think of how long. I remember, I was there for a while and could not get up. But that was okay. But that's how the Lord wanted me to learn. It wasn't in the car by myself driving around trying to figure out how to do it, Brother Clint. So we all probably think that we're in control. That's what I'm trying to get at. We all probably think we're in control. But the truth is, God's always in control. And so at the appointed time, we'll all be prepared and we'll all be sent out in the way God sees best. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to go? In fact, that's the name of my message. We don't have, again, this is the second time I've preached and we don't have, no, I'm just kidding. She's going to throw something at me from the booth back there. But are you ready to be sent out? Are you filled with His Spirit to the point to where you can minister in any situation that He allows you to be in? None of us should let the pride. This is what's wrong with me, pride. Gary, you don't want to get out there and just start speaking in tongues like that and fall on your face. You know, none of us want to let pride get in the way of the fact that we all need more of His Spirit than we have at any given moment in order to fulfill the commission to go out into all the world and to seek and to save that which is lost. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Are you ready to go? Whew. Now, I'm going over to chapter 10 of Luke again. Jesus had sent out the 70. They returned, and they were so happy. Luke 10:17 says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to your name. He said to them, I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. That's what Jesus did to Satan. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and all over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Jesus rejoices. He rejoices for all of us and everyone else who accepts His gift of salvation to be continually filled with His Spirit to help get through this life is the best blessing ever. If you don't know Him today at all, and I hope that's not the case, but there are some out there that don't know Him. If you don't know Him, we're here to pray for you. If you're saved and you need prayer, we're here to pray for you. If you have a need of any kind, an issue in your life, we're here to pray for you. God loves all of us and wants the best for all of us. But most of all, He needs us to know that our names are written in heaven. Lord, we just thank You. Thank You for this day, O God. We thank You for this wonderful day that You've given us, O Lord. We thank You that You filled us with Your Spirit. We thank You that You minister to us every day, O God, so we can be filled up and ready to go, filled up and ready to take on whatever mission you have us to do. Lord, let us be good carriers of your grace and your mercy, Lord, as we go from this place. Lord, we ask that you continue to fill us and to teach us the things of your kingdom so that everyone can be aware of your mighty power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need prayer, there's lots of people here that can pray with you. It doesn't have to be me. It can be any one of you. If you have a prayer need you want to stand in for someone, we'd be glad to do that. I appreciate you taking time to entertain me today. I needed this as much as anybody. He's always available to us, no matter where we're at, if we're in the car trying to learn how to speak in tongues, or if we're in church trying to preach, and we're nervous and all we got to do is talk about our granddad's filling station. And that's all right. That's all right. It's the air, water, and gas. They don't do that much anymore. You have to do your own. So that's why I like the filling station. So I love all of y'all. God bless you.